Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed. Amen. Well, we have another interactive part we do in the church body, and I say, this is the day which the Lord has made, we will, and you respond with rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do that right now. This is the day which the Lord has made, we will
rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, former Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher said, you may have to fight a battle more than once to win it. And I know we talked about battles several weeks ago, but I thought, that's true. We may have to fight a battle more than once to win that battle. But I thought, today we're going to study about a battle that was won that did not have to be fought over and over and over. And we're talking about Jesus Christ. He has defeated death. He has defeated the grave. He has defeated the enemy. And He does not have to go through that battle again. He has defeated it once and for all. And that is great news for the believers today. Now in John chapter 20 today, we're going to look at where. Last week we looked at where. Where do you stand? In relationship to Jesus Christ, where do you stand? And this week we're looking at where. Where is He? And I thought, good grief, when Adonijah walked in today, he could have looked in here like the empty tomb, opened the door and said, where is He? Where have you taken Him? The church is empty. Never before has a church been more alive and full than it is today, even though the seats are empty. Because people are going back to God and going back to Jesus saying, what do we do? Let us turn to You. And that's a great thing. It's like a great awakening or a great return of the body of believers back to Jesus Christ. And the Bible is full of stories like that in the Old Testament and New Testament where generations have left and returned, left and returned. And there's just this ebb and flow, this up and down of people coming to Christ and then in time leaving Him and then returning back to Him and then stepping away from Him. Once they feel comfortable and think, I've got this, we're back to some normality, they drift away. And all of a sudden, they're out of sight. But Jesus, where is He? He's in the same place. Even though they're backing away, He's right next to them. He's moving with them. He is just like God. He is all places, all-knowing and all-powerful. Now, in John chapter 20, as we look at this and start discussing this, we think He's defeated this today. So let's read John chapter 20, verse 1 through 10. We'll be reading all of that, but 1 through 10 says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples and the one Jesus loved, and she said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put Him. Her first question, where is He? Where have they put Him? So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first and bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him, and he went straight in the tomb, and he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. And it says the cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first but did not go in, finally he went inside. He saw and believed. Now, verse 9 says, they still did not understand from the Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Very first thing, early on the first day of the week, Jesus Christ, last week we talked about the triumphant entry into Jerusalem and the palms, and they were waving palm leaves and throwing their cloaks down on the road for Jesus to ride in on. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David! And they're cheering Him on. But by the time we get to today, He'd gone through much pain and suffering. He'd been beaten. He had to carry a cross, and I'm sure the cross that He carried was much larger than this one. But I carried this cross from the wall to up here and nearly died. Now again, I can't imagine Jesus having to carry his own cross. That came after he was beaten. And then in the point we read last week where they got the guy from Cyrene to pick up the cross and carry it for him because he could not carry on. And they said, "Where is he? Where have you taken him?" Now in verse 11, it says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb and she was crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look at the tomb and she saw two angels in white. And they were seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away. They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize it was Jesus. And he asked her, and he said, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?' Thinking that he was a gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' And Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means 'teacher.' And Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But he said, 'Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God.' And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, 'I have seen the Lord.' And she told them that he had said these things." Now again, her question is, where is he? Thinking Jesus was a gardener. If you have taken him, tell me where and I will go get him. Just tell me, where is he? But you notice what Jesus said to Mary, and she recognized him. He told her, "Do not hold on to me." You know, when we lose loved ones, I think we have the same reaction. Oh my goodness, where are they? I must see them. And I would think that the response would be the same. Do not hold on to me. For those that are believers that have gone on, they know that they're going to be with Jesus. And if you're a believer, they know also, I will see you again someday. We will be reunited. But I think it's the same response. Don't hold on to me, for I have to go for now. And while death is a part of life, it still is difficult for us to grasp. Just as it was for the disciples to understand when Jesus was gone and they peered in the grave, they did not yet understand that he had to leave and would be raised in 3 days. Now, as we read on in verse 11 through 18, the same questions will come out. And it says, or verse 19 says, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, the doors were locked." And why were they locked? The doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders coming in. And it says, Jesus came and stood among them. They're in their place, doors locked. Jesus is amongst them. And he said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord, his first appearance to the disciples. They were overjoyed. Now they're fearful again. They locked themselves inside. Where was Jesus? He was right in the midst of them, standing in the middle of them. "Peace be with you," he said. Hey, by the way, look at my scars. Look at this. They were overjoyed. With that, Jesus breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Very important here that we call these out. These two things out. Verse 22, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Verse 23, "If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you do not, they are not. You know, I heard a country song the other day. The guy was talking about living life. And he said, what would you do with that? And he said, I would forgive people that I've been holding on to. And I think it's time for some of us to forgive people that we're holding on to. And we think we're not ready to forgive. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you do not, they are not. I think that's a sign from God with this thunder out there. We better obey Him. Okay? Now, the Holy Spirit is the same thing. I think the Holy Spirit has touched people in our church congregation and throughout the world, but they've denied it. Meaning they fight it. They think, oh, I don't know what this is. This is new to me. And I don't understand it. My goodness, if we could stop trying to understand everything that God has set up for us, I think life would be so much better. On this Resurrection Sunday, man, quit trying to understand everything that is happening in this world. We want to be able to account for it and tell others our great understanding. God says, man, you don't need to understand. You need to trust. Stop fighting the Holy Spirit and stop fighting forgiveness and forgive one another. Now, when we talk about where, this one it was very interesting. The disciples didn't say, where is he? They knew where he was. He was right in the midst of their group. Could you imagine? Lock the doors. I don't want any outsiders coming in. Andrew, Eric, Adonijah, you guys post up at the doors. We all turn around. Okay, let's come back. Whoa, Jesus, how are you getting here? Where is he? He's right in our midst. He is right in our midst. As we press on in verse 24, one of my favorite places of the Bible, and about this time of year especially. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus had come. Wasn't with them. Didn't get to participate in seeing Jesus. So what did he say? The others came up to him and said, we have seen the Lord. Thomas said, nah, unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, the disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked again, Jesus came and he stood in the midst of them. And he said, peace be with you. But then he went and found Thomas. He said to Thomas, hey, Thomas, put your finger right here. You see my hands? Put your finger there where the nail was. Reach out your hand and put it right here into my side. Stop doubting and believe. I think that's the Easter message. Stop doubting and believe. Amen. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. This is the second time Jesus shows himself and appears to the disciples. And Jesus told him, he said, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Now, as we talk about where, we're looking at where is Jesus. But I want us to think back to last week's message. Where do you stand? As we think about Thomas, where do you stand? Is the testimony of other people not good enough for you to believe and accept what is happening? I can only accept and receive what I experience. I don't have enough trust in someone else's testimony. Then half of this is garbage. Because this is testimony of others. The disciples write, this I have written and seen, so that you may see it, hear it, and believe what I have seen. Is the testimony of others not good enough for you to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ? If I didn't experience, I can't trust that it really happened. I can assure you, those that think that way are also the people that say, let me be the first to tell you what happened to me, and let me be the first to be offended if you don't accept my testimony. We can't accept the testimony of others, but we want everyone to accept our testimony if it happens to us. That's Thomas. Don't think it can't happen to you. It happened to one of the disciples. Adam, this may happen to others out there in the church, but it will never happen to me. Oh yeah, that was last week's message, remember? They may deny you, but I will not. We do the same thing. We reject other people's testimony. We don't give them credit. They're not believable. This story isn't believable. My goodness, that's crazy talk. I don't know about you, but turning water into wine, that's some crazy talk. Okay? Half this word is crazy talk when we talk about miracles. And it said he did many signs and wonders so that people would believe. As a matter of fact, right down here in verse 30, it says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written down that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. What a great testimony. What a great testimony. Tell you what, you've got a testimony, share it with others. Amen. When others share their testimony with you, believe it, accept it, and receive it. Amen. Because you'll have a testimony. Really, each one of you probably already has a testimony, you just don't know it yet. Now, as we turn to John chapter 21, or move on to John chapter 21, it talks about Jesus appearing again to his disciples. And they're out there by the sea, and it said in verse 2 of chapter 21, Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together. And they said, hey, we're going out to fish. And the other said, hey, we'll go with you. So they got in their boat, and they went out. But that night they caught nothing. And I want us to think about that. As we go out to spread the good news of the gospel, as we go out to help people change their life, as we go out to preach to others, to reach out to others, to touch others, to lead our youth, to impact other people that are lost, we say, man, nothing happened. I didn't catch anything. Think about this. And early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize them. Or did not recognize him. In verse 5, it says, he called out and said, friends, haven't you any fish? And let me tell you, if you're doing any type of ministry and you think, I don't have any fish, just picture Jesus saying that to you. Friend, don't you have any fish? And could you imagine the dejection? No, I don't have any. I've been out here all night. I've been out here all week. I've been out here all year. Missionaries often go through that. I spent years preaching to these tribes and these people, to this village. No fish. And Jesus said, hey, why don't you throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. Hey, why don't you go to the village down the road? Hey, why don't you try these people? Hey, why don't you just turn around to this side and work this angle? And it says, when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." I don't know if you guys can hear it here. I don't know if you can hear it on that thunder above as we talk about it. I don't think that's coincidence. It is the Lord. He wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water, and the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. Now when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, and there were fish on it, and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Come, have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. This is his third appearance to his disciples. And Jesus came and he took the bread and he gave it to them and did the same with the fish. Now this was the third time he appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When Jesus had finished eating, or when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter said, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he answered and said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus told him, "Simon Peter, take care of my sheep." Then a third time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And it says Peter was hurt at this point because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and will lead you where you do not want to go." Now Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said, "Follow me." Now remember last week we were talking about to be Christ's followers and to be more than just a Christian or someone says, "I'm saved, I've accepted Jesus Christ." But to be a Christ follower says we have to pick up our cross and carry it. We have to follow Him daily to where He is leading us. Now Peter turned around and he saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. And this is the one who leaned back against Jesus at the supper and he said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" Now when Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." That goes back to, guys, we have to run our own race that Jesus Christ has given us. We have to take our gift that Jesus has given us and utilize it. I don't have the gift of other things. I cannot play the piano like Susie. Y'all heard how I sing last week. Thank you for your comments, by the way. And I'll sing again today, briefly. I don't have the gift of singing, but I'm going to use the gift that I do have to be utilized in the kingdom of God. What is it to you? You must follow me. And remember, we read a couple weeks ago also, and it said, "Who are you to judge?" We've got to stop judging other people and worrying about, what about them? And what about them? And that group over there doesn't have to. They don't get to. They don't need to. Why don't we tell them? He said, don't worry about other people. We need to quit getting in other people's business. And we need to be about His business. He said, what is that to you? You must follow me. That's what we need to worry about. Are you following Him? And are you following His word? Don't worry about what the others are doing. Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus didn't say that he wouldn't die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is a disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. See, we know that his testimony is true. We accept that testimony. We're not a doubting Thomas. We don't say, oh, I don't know. I didn't see it. It didn't happen to me that same way. I didn't have the same healing. I didn't have the same financial benefit you have. So I don't receive that testimony. It wasn't your testimony. It was their testimony about what happened to them. The blessing they received. Receive that. But the first thing we want to do is compare and say, well, I didn't get that blessing. I did the same thing. Sounds like you weren't ready for it. I don't know, maybe you were, but I'm just saying that we each have our own testimony, and God blesses us differently. This is a disciple who testifies to these things. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Sounds like he's busy doing signs and wonders and miracles. Now we have to know in that scripture that we just read, Jesus asked Simon Peter, do you love me? And he gave him three assignments. And he said, feed my lambs. Then he said, take care of my sheep. And then he changed it up just a little bit. And he said, feed my sheep. You have the lambs and the younger ones. You need to feed them. You need to take care of them as they get older. And as they get older, you need to continue to feed them and feed the sheep that are no longer lambs. Now, given today's environment, I know that we could easily say, in the midst of this, where is he? Mary asked that at the tomb. Where is he? We went there to the tomb where he was laid. And we got there, the stone was rolled away. Where is he? We get a little glimpse of that in Mark chapter 16, verse 19. And it says Jesus is with the disciples again. And again, each gospel has a little different reference. But Mark chapter 16, verse 19, Jesus spoke to them after being with them. And it says he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. And that's where Jesus is. Sitting at the right hand of God. That's where he is today. In Luke, it was the same thing happening. Jesus was gathered around and he was with the teachers and the elders and the chief priests and others that had gathered. And he said to them, he said, hey, if I ask you, you won't answer me. And if you ask me, you're going to ask a different question. So he said, let me just tell you this. From now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. Again, that's where he is today. He is sitting at the right hand of God Almighty. But, just like the disciples, where else is he? He's right here in our midst. He's right here in our midst. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20 is the Great Commission. And it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him there, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey. To obey what? Everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Jesus is with them. He is with us. He is in our midst today, just like the disciples experienced when they locked the doors and they thought, hey, we're all by ourselves here. Peace be with you. Oh my, Jesus is in our midst. When they locked the door again, peace be with you. Oh my, Jesus is in our midst again. When we gather together for great fellowship, Jesus will be in our midst. But while we sit alone and isolated right now, know that Jesus is still in your midst. He is right there in the middle of you. Well, it's just me. He's there with you. It's just us. He's there with y'all. He's there in the midst of you. He hasn't left. So when we ask, where is He? He's right there in the middle. Right in the middle of us. Now many of us walk around and remember we see things that look like big trees and those scales haven't quite fallen off. Maybe some have, but there's still some residue left. We have to clear our focus. We have to cleanse our eyes. We have to believe. The gospel message, this is the greatest thing over any other religion. Other religions have men of the world, men of the earth. But no other religion says, we took a man, we crucified him, we killed him on the cross, we buried him in a tomb, and on the third day he rose again from the dead, defeating death, defeating the grave, defeating the enemy. Amen. He is alive today. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. We must believe. Quit walking around saying, I need to see those holes in his hands first. You see, I have to experience firsthand. I cannot receive your testimony. There should be great testimonies coming out of this time, out of this day and age of what we're going through. And when we hear them, we should gladly receive them. Because we're gladly receiving Jesus Christ and His work here on earth through them and their testimony. When Jesus Christ defeated the grave, when He defeated death, when He defeated the enemy, He left that story for us. He left that story with 12 disciples, or 11 by the time He went to the cross. And I'm concerned with what we just read in Matthew 28:16. It says, the disciples went to Galilee. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some doubted. I go back to the story I shared last week with the young man that Jesus healed. And Jesus said, do you believe? And he said, I believe. Help my unbelief. I ask you today to pray that God would help your unbelief. Know today that Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. He's left a message for us to pass on to others that He's no longer in the grave. He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and He walks among us today. In this day and age, He walks among us. He's asked us to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, to share the good news of the gospel, to do it faithfully, to be good witnesses for Him, accurate witnesses for Him, so that we can share His life with others, so that they may have life, so that they may have light, and so that they may have that life more abundantly, but that they can also experience His love for us. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow and pray before we dismiss today. Heavenly Father, I just ask today that You bless us on this very different Resurrection Sunday. But Lord, I pray that there's celebrations happening in our households, in our apartments, in our places of living, Lord, that we can feel the presence of Jesus Christ. We know that He is no longer in the grave. We know that death has been defeated. The enemy has been defeated. I love the song that says, "Shout unto God with a voice of triumph." And it talks about our victory. Our victory. Because your victory is our victory for those that believe. God, today, if there's those that are watching on Facebook Live that have questions, that they know how to contact us or reach out to somebody, Lord, that they would receive You today as their Lord and Savior, that they would ask for forgiveness. Lord, I pray today that those watching that have received the gift of life from You, if we're harboring unforgiveness, that we would release that today on this Resurrection Sunday. God, for those that are feeling alone and separated and isolated, that they would feel a part of the body today through this virtual fellowship, if you will. I pray today that Your word spreads like never before in our day and age. Through the things that we're going through, that we would quit leaning on our own understanding. God, that we would get away from trying to explain everything that is happening. But that we would focus on Your word. And that we would be drawn back to You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to finish with a very simple song. You're welcome to turn off now if you don't want to hear that. Or stay with us while I sing this song real quick. Have a blessed and amazing week. I do hope you guys thought about what I talked about last week and look for opportunity to serve other people. God bless you and have an amazing week.